Let me read to you, beginning in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you will give us understanding of your word, leading us and guiding us in truth. Father, your will. Father, change us and renew us and transform us by your word, we pray. And Father, may this time honor you. I've gone through this a few times. I'll do it very quickly this morning. An outline of verses 4 through 8. I didn't even read all of the verses this outline would cover. But number one, it starts there in verse 4. As you come to him. In the middle of an epistle that is written to those who will suffer as our Lord suffered. We are reminded in a passage that acknowledges that he himself was rejected of men. A living stone rejected of men. Carrying on the theme throughout the entire letter that Peter has written. That Jesus was rejected, but he did not revile in return. And you and I and these that Peter was writing to and that the letter would reach, all would realize, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will face opposition, suffering, even persecution. But the reminder at the very beginning, be laser focused. No matter what this world brings before you as a believer, you are to continue doing what? Coming to Jesus. Don't let persecution, don't let suffering get you down into the doldrums, get you down into the life isn't fair, this world doesn't understand what they're doing. Keep going to Christ. Secondly, there is a reminder in this passage, and we're right in the middle of it. The reason you are to keep coming to Jesus Christ in the midst of this world is because you, dear believer, are part of a work that is phenomenal. Something that you and I may not see, we do not see often enough. Sometimes we struggle to see at all. You are united with Jesus. He is the living stone rejected of men, and you are to be coming to him as what? Like living stones. You have a connection with Jesus. As Jesus was rejected by this world, even though he is holy and righteous, as he has made you through the blood of his sacrifice, as he has made you through the blood of his covenant, as he has made you through salvation, through faith in the gospel, righteous, holy, separated from this world, you are now part of his work in this world. And it is a work that he will not forget. It is a work that he will not leave aside. It is a work that he will not grow bored of and turn to something else. You are connected with the Son of God. As living stones, you are to continue coming to him. And it says in verse 5, where we are, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up into something. God is at work. As Ephesians says, Jesus is the master craftsman, and you are his workmanship, craftsmanship. You are a part of his building project, and it's all being constructed together, and you're part of this. You are being built up as a spiritual house, Peter says. Looked at that over the last couple of weeks, and this morning, to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then finally, in the coming weeks, we're going to see in these verses, the opposition of the world will seem at times to be out of control. You and I will be tempted to think whether the persecution is minuscule or whether the persecution is acts-like. You and I will face that, and our human instinct is to say, oh, is God even in control? Because in our minds, we don't say this out loud, if he loved me, he wouldn't want me to go through this, would he? Even though this says so much different than that. This is not out of control in this world. And no news story that flashes across your screen should ever convince you otherwise. Remain laser focused. Keep coming to Christ. Last week we looked at this being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices. And we talked about last week the conundrum here. What does this mean that we are a priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices? The very gospel itself is that Jesus is the once for all sacrifice. And we found, as we studied last week, there's this beautiful theme throughout the Old Testament that's just this foreshadow. And we see again through the gospel of Christ, the substance is Jesus himself. The sacrifices of the old covenant priesthood could never fully atone for sin, just for a time. And even then, it wasn't the full sacrifice. And we are not called to go out and say, all right, now really do it. Now we want you to atone for your own sins. We want you to offer up something that God would say, okay, I've seen your sin, and tell you what, if you give this to me, if you give up this, I'll think about it. No. Through the gospel of Jesus, we are atoned for. And we looked at those passages where God says, I desire obedience. Okay, you don't obey, then you need to go to this sacrifice. Okay, you did that, but you didn't do that. Well, God says, I'm sick of your sacrifices. I am weary of them. What I want is a heart that is true, and I want justice, and I want compassion, and I want love, and I want humility. Not this sacrifice, but that's the problem. I'm not those things. The gospel is the answer for all of that. And now our passage says, but you are to be a holy priesthood. You are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's what I want us to examine this morning. What does this mean? You are to be a holy priesthood. There's a lot in those few words. You are to be a holy priesthood, set apart for God. The word holy, it has so many, it's such a wide variety of meanings, and many of them are very much related, but the word holy can simply mean, in one sense, just set apart, just not like the rest. In one sense, the word holy in this sanctified, set apart way isn't even emphasizing anything of characteristic or quality, but just being set apart. And in that way, dear believers, we can say the body of Christ, every believer now that's been made as this holy priesthood, is indeed set apart. Before we look at the qualitative nature of it, before we look at what this group is, we can see there are no others that are set apart for this reason. God doesn't say, you know what, in one country I'm going to set up this church thing, and in another country I'm going to set up as a club type thing, and in another country I'm going to make it a political type thing. No. There is one set apart people of the living God. All of those who have been purchased by the blood of Jesus, born again through faith in the gospel. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. SDG. Sola Dei Gloria. We are set apart unlike any other. Dear friends, remember that. Recognize that. That is something really extraordinary. We often don't give it as much due, as much credit as how wonderful this is. If, as 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be God and Father, because according to his great mercy, he has caused you to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the dead, you have been set apart for God's purpose. We need to be reminded of that. We may need to wake up in the morning and realize, you know what? In light of everything else going on, and thank you guys for your testimonies that you shared earlier, because there are things going on in our lives. But greater than all of that, more important than what the minutia may be, you are set apart as a holy priesthood. Later in the same chapter, down in verse 9, it's going to emphasize this again, and we'll really start to examine these verses here in a few weeks. But in verse 9, but you are a chosen race. This is a beautiful thing, that there is this spiritual unity between people from every background. And Peter emphasizes it. Paul emphasizes it. Jesus himself has emphasized this, that his people are made up not just of a single nationality, not just of a single country, not just of a single racial background. But Ephesians just boasts of this, that God has shown his multicolored, multifaceted wisdom as he saved people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation. Not just to the nation of Israel that God's called a select group out, but from everybody. And he has made them into one new humanity. There is this spiritual race, if you will, and it has nothing to do with the color of our skin or with our genetics. It has everything to do with the grace of our Lord. Amen. And with the purpose of God's plan for us. You are, 1 Peter 2:9 says, a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Oh, not just a priesthood, a royal priesthood. Again, insert our entire Wednesday night study on dominion and dynasty right here. This has significance. Dominion and dynasty. A people with a purpose and a place. You are a royal priesthood. There is a kingly aspect to this priesthood. In other words, Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and that's who you are set apart to serve. Not just for your sins to be atoned for your sins to be forgiven, but now you are part of the royal guard. You are part of the royal ambassadorship. You are to represent the king in this world. That's what you're set apart, made holy to be. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. 1 Peter 2:9 finishes, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Please consider that in advance of the time that we'll get there. This is what we have been set apart to do. This is part of what it means to be this priesthood. That we are the ones, truly, by God's design, to tell the world of how he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And oh, there's so many excellencies there. Our job as this royal priesthood, this holy priesthood, is to tell others of the gospel. And you know what? That doesn't necessarily need to be you pulling up a step stool on a street corner and getting up on a soapbox and just telling them they're sinners worthy of hell. It can be that you tell them, I was a sinner worthy of God's damnation, but God called me out of darkness into his light. And the gospel is there for him to call you to the very same thing. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Again, remember last week we talked about that temple imagery through there, that spiritual house, the dwelling place of God, like the temple of old was in a physical way, we are in a fulfilled way, to be a holy priesthood. Revelation 1 picks up on the same royal priesthood theme that Peter speaks about. In verse 5, it kind of goes through, and there's a sentence break in the middle of verse 5, which makes it a little tough, so I'm going to be in 5b, if I may. It says this, to him who loves us, smile there, dear friends, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. There's that gospel message there again. Keep smiling. And has made us a kingdom. There's the royal line. Has made us a kingdom, comma, priests, to his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You have been set apart as this royal priesthood. So what does this mean? We're not to go forth and sacrifice animals. We're not to take each other's first fruits and offer them up and leave them behind. It's not that sort of thing. It's not returning to the shadows, the foreshadows. It's not going back to things that were just prophecies of what the fullness, the substance is. That's what I want us to get to today. What is this substance of our priesthood? Number one, you are to serve God in true worship. I haven't thought this one all the way through, so argue with me and correct me later if you will. But I'm going to say this right now. You are to be worship leaders. So let's get three more microphones up here and get y'all singing with us, right? No, not just standing up here singing. You are to lead others to worship God. You are to do so with your family. You are to do so with your friends. You are to do so as you take the gospel to your neighbors. And when you see those people, by God's grace, coming to them in faith, you are to lead them in worship. You are to lead yourself in worship. Talk to yourself. Find out through God's word what you need to do to be better at worship. I had the opportunity the last couple days, and I want you to especially those who are involved in quizzing this weekend. You saw people dedicate so much time that we probably can't even fathom how much time was put into that. You saw people who have invested in lives. And you know what? You saw a bunch of old people here, all right? Thank you, Sheila's testimony that they're still green and ripe. And because we just had a hymn this morning. It's like, you know, snow-crowned age, you know. It sounded pretty old in that hymn, but the passage of Scripture was helpful there. You know, just snow-crowned age, but still green and still bearing fruit. There are young ones here today who are involved either in that or other things. There are people investing in you because we are turning things over to you. We are entrusting you with the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to take on after we're gone. You are a holy priesthood with us. Bear it with us. Stand with us. Serve the Lord continually. You are to worship in spirit and in truth. Grow in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Grow in that knowledge. That's if you are like me and you say, I struggle with worship, can't we just find a book that says, here's the three ABCs of worship, here's the five principles of worship, the four spiritual laws of worship, and I'll be better at it? You know why that book doesn't exist? It's not that easy. And it's certainly not that prescribed. Seek to know God. Seek to know God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you will grow in worship. Be worship leaders as these holy priests are spoken of. Secondly, serve God. You've been made a holy priesthood for this reason, so that you will be one who truly serves God. You've been set apart, a holy priesthood. You know, this is not just we're hoping doctrine affects you. We're not just coming together to teach and say, man, I hope some of this sticks. And your lives are a little bit cleaner than they once were, or you're a little bit more equipped than you once were. No. God has set us apart to do this. God has set us apart for this reason. There is no excuse. There is no part that only a few of us play and the rest of us just sit back and hopefully those do their job well. This is the reason you have been born again by the Spirit of God to be a holy priesthood serving God. Who else is going to do it? It's on this group. And I don't mean this group here, although if that sparks it, great. But I mean this group spoken of here, this holy priesthood that I do hope you are identifying with now as a believer. Be an image bearer of God. go back to those first passages in Genesis, and you see how God was made in the how man was made in the image of God. And we're like, what does that mean? And what did the fall do to that? What did sin do to that? And do we ever get it back? Are we just kind of a dim picture now? Is that why we start getting wrinkles now because of sin? And other than that, we look like God? Fingers, eyes, nose, symmetrical for the most part. It was meant to be, going back to the idea of a holy royal priesthood, we are to be ambassadors representing the creator of all things, the redeemer of all things, the sustainer of all things. We are to be ambassadors for Christ, telling others about him, representing his holiness, his ways, his love, his purity, all of those things. And you and I can do that, not of our own strength, but by the work of the Holy Spirit within us, because we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's work to be done. And guess what? It's not by your strength. That'd be a whole nother sermon. We'll move on. So the passage says you are to be a holy priesthood. Take that on. Please recognize that. This is not just some religious relic phrase that's left in the scriptures that we kind of say, oh yeah, we're kind of a holy priesthood. This is what you as a believer are called to be. Don't shirk this. Okay? I don't even know what that means. It sounds like it's supposed to be right. Anyway, don't shy away from this. Don't ignore this. You're called to be a holy priesthood. To do something according to 1 Peter 2:5. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. To offer spiritual sacrifices. What does that look like? I've already mentioned, and we can emphasize it once again, this is not returning to the non-spiritual sacrifices. This is not returning to the physical priesthood. This is not returning to offering animals for atonement of sin. Jesus has suffered once for all. That's why we went to Hebrews 10 last week to see that. There's no need for that anymore. So spiritual sacrifices, does that mean we just kind of pretend we're offering animals? Fortunately, the Bible is filled with help on understanding what this means. But I want us just to consider one thing before we turn to some of these passages as we close here this morning. The Old Testament, and especially the sacrifices introduced through the Mosaic Covenant, the Mosaic Law, the Levitical priesthood, those were foreshadows. Number one, they were foreshadows of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Okay? So please, when we see those things, when we even think about the idea of how can my sins be atoned for? How can God's wrath pass by me because I deserve it? What is going to be the answer to that? And the answer is the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, that he gave his blood to cleanse us from our sins. The Old Testament foreshadowed that. But the Old Testament also foreshadowed what we're seeing right here in 1 Peter. Along with, as Peter's already dealt with, the idea of the sacrifice of Christ, that we've been cleansed with the precious blood of the spotless Lamb of God. But turn in your Bibles to Isaiah this morning. We're going to be reading mainly in Isaiah 61, but I want to tie this into Isaiah 60 so you can kind of see the amazing context here. Isaiah I love these chapters in Isaiah. You can just go to the first few verses of each chapter and just kind of see this story building, just see this hope being explained here of what God was going to do. Even when he had told Isaiah, go out and I want you to preach destruction and damnation until there is nothing left. All right? Until there's hopelessness. And then there's hope presented. But not in man. Chapter 60 begins, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. I believe that is fulfilled in every believer in the gospel. But going on from there to verse 21 of Isaiah 60. Listen to this, Isaiah 60, verse 21. This is speaking prophetically of what we now have fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Your people shall all be righteous. That can only be fulfilled in Christ. And dear friend, that is fulfilled in you in Christ. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. That branch, studied rightly through the scriptures, is none other than Jesus Christ. So you kind of see where Isaiah 60, from the very first verses to verse 21 there, but now into 61, 1 through 6. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of faint spirit. Remember earlier I said, as a priest, your job is to be a worship leader. You have been given the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Goes on in verse 3, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations, and the many generations. Dear friends, I see this being fulfilled in the holy royal priesthood. And keep reading here in a moment. I just want to remind you, this is your work. Whether you're the snow-crowned age that's still bearing green fruit, whether you're like me, whether you're one of the young ones here that are just being entrusted the gospel of Christ, this is all talking about you as a believer. Verse 5, strangers shall stand and tend your flocks. Foreigners shall be your plowmen and vine dressers. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. They shall speak of you as the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory you shall boast. The passage goes on and talks about you shall have everlasting joy. Peter's picked up on that already. He has said that we have joy, what? Inexpressible and filled with glory. It's fulfilled in us. We are the royal priesthood that the Old Testament prophesied of. That means, dear friends, we have work to do. A New Testament passage. Turn to Romans 12. Start to see whether it's Peter, whether it's Paul. This all is being described as being completed in us. But I want you to see something here. That every time we see the New Testament speak of the body of Christ, every believer born again by the gracious work of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we see this idea like Peter has presented, you are being built up as a spiritual house, and you are a royal priesthood. You are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. It is astounding that in every one of these places we see the idea of we are being built up into this living temple, this royal priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices that will never be separated from how we are to invest ourselves in the lives of each other. In other words, the work of this priesthood is interconnected with the idea of the temple that we are a part of, and we are all living stones involved in it, and we need each other. And the work that we are to be doing is to be integrated with one another, and it is to impact one another, to build each other up, to strengthen each other when we are in need, and to worship together. It's never separated. It's always all in view. In Romans chapter 12, we'll see one of these passages that speaks of the way we are to be ourselves a living sacrifice. I appeal to you, Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do you see all of the themes that we've looked at this morning, we've considered this morning, wrapped up and tied up into this? You are to offer spiritual sacrifices, and you know what? It's you. Jesus gave his life for me to sacrifice his blood to be the atoning work for my sins. There is nothing left to be done to atone for sins. You can't do it. You can't add to it. That's not what you're being called to do. Jesus has given his life up for you, and so you are to give up yourself for his glory. Not in the atoning sense. It's never involved here. In the response sense. With this in mind, he gave his life for me. What can I do in return for him? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Now, what does this mean, to present my body as a living sacrifice, all right? I've already said it. It's not to sacrifice our blood. It's not to sacrifice our life upon an altar. There's no reason for that. We're going to get to it as this passage progresses. And you know what it's going to be? Take your body. Give up pursuing your good in your body. And pursue with your body, sacrificially, the good of others. Friends, that's a life-changing truth. It's the heart of the gospel that we've been called to. Listen to the way this develops. Verse 2 of Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world. That's strong, all right? Every day you are facing temptations, traditions, just ease of life, way of life, manners. Everything about this world is trying to get you conformed to it. Okay, if you don't recognize that tension, that pull on your life, as I struggle with, we need to be reminded, okay? If we are passive, we'll just turn back into the ways of this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, here's something that's a challenge to what I just said. Don't be passive. Okay, and what I mean is, don't just let yourself be conformed to this world. But here's the thing, to be transformed, something has to passively be done to you. You need to be renewed, and you can't do that yourself. All right, I get your attention now. You need to be renewed, and you can't do that yourself. You need to be renewed by the transforming of your mind by the gospel. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. that by testing you, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And dear friends, that's what this holy priesthood is to be doing. That's what these spiritual sacrifices are, to give up the world and being conformed to it and doing what is holy, good, righteous, and perfect in God's sight. That's you and me. That's what we've been called to do through the gospel. That is bearing the image of God. That is being a royal priesthood in this world. What is good and acceptable and perfect. Does it seem like it's too much to do? Verse 3. For by the grace given to me. That's kind of a precursor of how you'll find the strength to do this. What is good and acceptable and perfect by God's grace given to you. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. What a statement. Right in the middle of a passage saying to give up your own body as a spiritual sacrifice. What does what I just read have to do with that? This is at the heart of what we need to do as a believer. We need to sacrificially give up our high view of ourselves. It is devastating to the body of Christ. When we think we deserve more, when we think we are the one, when we think we should be higher than others. This is at the heart of so much of what destroys the work of God. This needs to be our living sacrifice. I love the way Paul says, by the grace of God given to me, I say this to you. It's not of my strength, not of my efforts. It's only by what he's done. Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Goes on. But to think with sober judgment. Each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now listen to where this develops. See these living stones being built up as a spiritual house. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. We are building up this spiritual house as living stones, active in this process. And in so doing, we are offering our own bodies as a living sacrifice. Paul's message is the same as Peter's. A spiritual house being built up as we sacrificially view each other as more important than we view ourselves. What do I do then? I don't know. It's going to be rather evident. It's not just, okay, get together and, all right, give 10% of your food up and we'll all distribute it to others and then it's all going to work. No, it's not that robotic. There are times it's going to require just a word of encouragement. And there are times when it's going to require giving up what you have worked so hard for and you think is giving you security because you just see how others need it more than you. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Think about that. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now we look at that and see that's the acceptable, well-pleasing sacrifice to God, that Jesus did this and in him God is well-pleased. Yes, the sacrifice of Jesus was well-pleasing to God. But listen to the verse. You now do likewise. Sacrifice something in your life for the good of others. Why? Because it's well-pleasing to God. Later in that same chapter, preface with that very truth. walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up. Later in verse 15 it says, so then look carefully how you walk, not as unwise builders, but as wise builders, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, for there is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, building one another up in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You see, all of these themes wrapped up in here. Sacrifice, being set apart as a holy priesthood, giving for others, and eventually worship is what's going on. Hebrews 13:15. I close with this last week. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Sorry. Quizzers just looked at me like you just... Sorry, let me read that from the ESV to you. Giving thanks always. Okay, where am I? That's Ephesians. Let me go to Hebrews. Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. There's the ESV. As we close the day, I want to tell you something that may be on your mind, may not, but at some point it will. Am I going to exhaust my resources when I do this? All right, that's not a very spiritual question to ask, okay? But let's be honest. That's going to come up at some point. How much can I give? How much can I afford to give? And again, it's not all money. It's time. It's emotional investment. All right? These are all resources, okay? And they're all resources that are seemingly finite unless there is a source that never gives up. In Philippians, turn there to Philippians 4. We'll end here. It's a statement of what Paul's doing. It represents a lot of what Tim's been teaching as we've gone through the book of Acts in our Sunday school time. But let me read to you from Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, because there's a wonderful, needed spiritual truth here. Paul says, "And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent." Listen to this description, inspired by God himself for us. "The gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God." Those are the very words that God used to describe the sacrifice of Jesus to purchase us from our sins. He says, "I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." But listen to verse 19. "And my God will supply every need of yours according to something. And I want you to get this with me. Because you may at some point ask yourself, man, I know God is good. He's really, really good. But will these mercies ever end? Will this provision just hit an end? And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. There is the beautiful truth. God will supply our every need as we are sacrificially giving to provide the needs of others. In this, God is well pleased, for here we are trusting him. For here we are giving like he gave. For here we are truly sacrificing, and for here we are worshiping him. May God give us the strength we need to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices. Sacrifices that, as we'll discuss next week, are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Through him alone. Let's pray as we're dismissed. Father, we thank you for your word.